Welcome to LOA Today. Walt Thiessen and life coach David Bartke here. Today is Sunday, January 28th, 2018, 11 a.m. Eastern Time. Your daily dose of happy for this weekend. And David, it's good to be talking to you again. I hope you had a great week.
Same here, Walt. I did. I had a very good week.
That's good to hear. That's excellent.
What about you? Did you have a nice week?
Yeah, it's been a good week in many ways, a little challenging in some ways, but the good parts have been really great. I mean, the shows, some of the topics we were talking about this week were just really deep, in-depth stuff. I mean, touching areas of vibration and law of attraction theory that we don't normally get to, but oh my goodness, it was mind-bending sometimes.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, that is good. It is good. And
wins did you have this week?
Well, that was a big one right there. In addition to that, we're still making progress on the book. It's coming along nicely. People are submitting their stories, some very interesting stories, too. This book is going to be well worth reading for anyone who's listening to the program. I mean, it's going to be really good,
Yeah. Just
based on the stories I'm seeing so far. And I still don't even have them all yet. I mean, it's just astonishing what's coming in. So, yeah, it's going to be really good, no doubt about it. How about you?
Wow. Yeah, I'm looking forward to reading that. I had a very good week, kept my vibration high all week. I had a lot of wins, just, you know, safe transportation everywhere I went, and I attracted some unexpected income, which is always really nice.
Very good.
I'm always open to that.
Yeah, absolutely. That's terrific. I have to admit, I need to work on that one a little bit better, but I'm just grateful and glad for you that, you know, it keeps coming. That's terrific.
Yeah, I've just been in a very good vibration about financial abundance, and as a result, I'm attracting that. So it's true what they say.
It's true what they say, yes, indeed.
The law of attraction does work. It is always responding to us. So, And what I did want to say is I had some issues with my website for a few days last week, so if anyone did try to contact me and you got an email saying that my email wasn't accurate or the server was down or something, I'm sorry about that. Please try again. And that's david@lifecoachdavid.com. It does work, so if you did try and you got that response, please try again because it's now working. And that's another one. My website was having issues. And I woke up one morning, I think it was Wednesday, and I just got this thought in my head, like, oh, check your website, check your email.
Oh.
I've learned to listen to those thoughts, you know, when you get kind of information like that.
I've been practicing that lately, yeah. And I can't say it's something I'd ever done really well in the past, but I'm paying more and more attention to it. And it's amazing what you can actually learn when you do that. The stuff that comes to you. If you actually go with it instead of dismissing it, like I'm so used to doing in the past, if you actually go with it, you get some interesting stuff that I didn't ever expect was actually going to be there.
I know. So I've learned to listen to that. So I'm like, okay, well, let me check. And sure enough, someone made some changes to my website, and whatever they did, they didn't do it right.
Ah, yes.
And the email wasn't working, and something else was down. I was just like, oh, my. So... it took a little bit of time, but because I followed that intuition, I was able to take action, obviously, to get it corrected.
Very good.
Yeah, but that is true. Like, you got to follow when you get any kind of information, like a thought flows through your head to check something or to do this or do that, it's definitely worth following that or investigating it to see if it's accurate information, because it usually is.
That's something that's actually been a theme for me the last couple weeks, really – learning to understand the nature of what is often called inner being or higher self or whatever. I mean, there's a lot of names for it. I prefer inner being myself, but the knowledge that I've acquired the last couple of weeks, particularly about the idea that the inner being is always looking at our lives from a perfectly positive and appreciative way and never pays any attention to the black cloud stuff. It's always silver lining. And once I heard that for the first time and started to think about it and started to work with it, and also started to work with the idea that whenever we're feeling negative emotion, it's because our physical self is disagreeing with the positive outlook of our inner self. And that's the explanation of what emotions are. I said, whoa, that's the first concrete, clear explanation of what an emotion is that I've ever heard in my many years of living on this planet. So I was very grateful to get that information, I can tell you that. And since then, what I'm starting to understand is if I get some kind of an impulse like that, a feeling, a thought that just seems to come from nowhere, I'm learning to trust it more because I'm realizing the truth of that fact that the inner being always looks at us in the most positive, beneficial, grateful-based, happy-based perspective. So therefore, the information that's coming is always good information. So therefore, it can be trusted. I never really trusted it before, you know?
What do you think when people say, we all have guides and our guides give us information too? What do you think about that?
I've never really been able to latch on to that. I understand what they're saying. I mean, my sister was the first one really to introduce the idea to me, and others have also talked about it, and spirit guides and so forth. And you know what? It's probably true. It's just not something I've ever found a way to latch on to in a way that is emotionally satisfying and intellectually satisfying. Yeah. It's like, okay, yeah, so I can see how there would be others, perhaps in the non-physical world, who are trying to help and who are trying to give me information and so forth. And that's great. That's good. I have no problem with that. But it's not something I really tie into. It's not something I feel like that's where I want to go. Like, I want to know what my spirit guides are telling me. I'm still trying to learn how to trust myself and how to love myself better. And I figure once I get better at that, the other will come through nice and easily anyway,
Yeah, because a lot of times when I'm working with a client, sometimes I get quote information and it's always accurate. So I'm like, I don't know, there must be something to your guides and your guys giving you information, and there must be something to that, because where else does it come from?
The thing that occurs to me is it's all if the messages are coming, or if at least some of the messages are coming from guides, from spirit guides, or angels, or whatever. It still has to come through my inner being. That's how they're going to communicate to me. So if the message that I'm getting through my inner being is from a spirit guide, or the message from my inner being is coming from my inner being, it still seems like it's coming from the same place. So my attitude is, why confuse myself? It's just coming from my inner being. That's good enough. I don't need to know who invented it on the other side. It's coming through a safe place. That's the only information I need, which is kind of interesting because you and I tend to be on the opposite of that fence. Usually you're the one who's arguing for, I don't need to know how the law of attraction works. And I'm saying, yeah, but I want to know all the little details of it. In this case, we're reversing it.
I wonder if that's with Esther Hicks, because that's kind of what she's tuning into. She calls it Abraham, but it's some form of guides that are channeling, talking or giving her information about law of attraction.
She describes Abraham as a collective consciousness, a whole bunch of individual beings all contributing information at the same time through this voice known as Abraham. And I can't honestly say I know what that means. I mean, I can kind of, sort of picture it a little bit, but what does that actually mean? I don't know.
Well, I always say, wherever it's coming from, it's really good information.
That's what I'm learning. It is good information, and that's the good news right there. You talk about what's the good news for the week. That's the good news. I'm learning that I can trust it. I like that. So
I thought I'd just share some of my favorite Abraham quotes before we get on to the new book.
Yeah, sure.
And ask you to what you take of it.
Okay.
So this one's kind of obvious, but still I love it. So here it is. Feel excited about what's coming, even if you don't know what it is. I love that one.
I'm still working on that one, to be honest. I agree with it. I like the sentiment behind it. But I have to admit, part of me, for me, it's more, let's see, how do I say it? It isn't that I lack excitement about what's coming. Very often for me, my biggest block that I put in my own way is wondering if anything's coming at all.
Stop it.
Yeah, right.
Stop that block. Blow it up.
Oh, absolutely. That's exactly what I'm trying to do. Move that out of the way and basically drop that belief that doesn't serve me at all. But you asked how I feel about it. That's what I feel. Yeah. Right now I'm feeling like I still have that block to get out of the way,
See, with me, you're right, because I'm just like, yay, I'm excited about what's coming. I don't know what it is, but I know that if I'm excited about something coming and I'm in that vibration of excitement, it's coming.
Now, simultaneously, I do have to say there are a number of aspects about what's coming about that I do get excited about.
I could be excited about what's coming even if I don't know what it is.
Well, the stuff that I tend to be excited about is stuff that I have some sense about what's coming. That's the part I can latch into easily. The part that I have trouble latching onto is the stuff that I have no idea what it is. And I'm getting better at it. I'm getting better at getting excited about it. I mean, I've certainly had enough of it happen in my life. You know, stuff that seems to come out of the blue and like, where on earth did that come from? You know, I had no anticipation that it was coming. That part is intriguing.
Isn't it a relief, though, like that you don't have to know what it is? That all you have to do is be excited about something.
That part is definitely a relief. Yes, I agree with that. Yes, that part is definitely a relief. I just haven't gotten to the point where I can hardly wait for the next unexpected thing to show up. I'm not quite there yet, if you know what I mean. I'm closer than I was even, you know, 5 years ago. But I'm not quite there yet. Getting there.
Yeah, like for me, sometimes if I feel like I need to raise myself vibrationally, I'll just remind myself like that. Like, oh, that's right. I can be excited about what's coming in even if I don't know what it is. And just by kind of thinking that, I can just feel myself raised vibrationally. Like, yay, I'm excited about it.
In fact, you know what? I'm just realizing that was actually one of my motivations for wanting us to do this book project in the first place. Because it's a project of collecting LOA manifestation stories. And very, very often, such stories involve stuff showing up unexpectedly. So I think that's part of the reason I wanted to have the book. Not only
proof,
you know,
again that we can be excited about what's coming, even if we don't know what it is.
Well, not just that we can be, but also to experience it. I mean, even if you're reading somebody else's story and experiencing it vicariously, you're still experiencing it, you know? So it gives me more opportunities as the editor, you know, as I'm reading all the stories and making edits and so forth to make it read nicer. You know, it gives me the ability and the opportunity to explore what other people have been experiencing and thereby become more and more comfortable with it and more accepting and more, you know, more excited, like you say, to become more excited about it.
Yes. All right, now this is kind of along the lines of a little bit of that. Get so good at feeling good no matter what, so only feel good things will happen. What is your take on that?
That's largely been my goal for the last, let's see, 5, 6, 7, about 7 or 8 years, something like that.
Yeah.
I have to admit I have modified it slightly because what I don't want is to try to get to the point where I am uniformly happy. Because when you're uniformly happy, you're really not letting any contrast in. So there's no sense of highs and lows of any kind. I'm not saying that you want to be in a depression area. You don't, but you can certainly be, you know, in variations of high and low within the positive realm, you know, within the positive space.
So what do you want then?
I want variation, but I don't want to have variation that takes me down to the deep lows. I'm tired of that. I've had too much of the deep lows in my life. You know, so I just want to stay up. I want variation. I just don't want it to be, you know, the really dark, depressing kind.
mm-hmm. Get so good at feeling good no matter what.
Yeah.
But only feel good things will happen. I would like to be in that spot all the time.
Yeah. And
why not?
A lot of it has to do with wanting to learn how to more and more discipline my focus. Discipline's not always the wrong word for me. I don't know why. I don't like that word. Maintain control. Maintain purposeful attention. You know, and to do it consistently. To be consistently attentive to what I want to be attentive to. That's what I mean by discipline. That's my goal. If I can get to the point where I can at will just kind of snap my attention over to what I want, particularly when I'm focusing by accident on what I don't want, just like, well, there it is, snap, I'm over on what I want again. You know, if I can do that consistently, that to me is going to be a major step forward.
Yes. But you like the idea of that, though.
Oh, yeah, very much.
Yeah. All right, here's another one that get your take on. Your desire to care about what others think is not serving you.
Yeah, I think that's largely true.
To care about what others think is not serving you.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think there is some usefulness to knowing what other people think, but I don't want that to be obsessive in any way. And that's the way I take that message.
You don't want what others think to control how you are.
To control how I am, to be the determinant about, you know, whether or not I choose a particular thought pattern or choose a particular course of action or whatever. I am curious about what other people think, and I'm interested in knowing what other people think because I get great insight from talking to other people. That's one of the reasons I love doing the podcast, because not only do I have you to talk with once a week, but I'm also talking with Wendy Dillard and Cindy Chavez and Joel Elston and Tom Wells, and every one of you has really interesting perspectives on things. So, of course, I want to know that part. I want to know what you think about that kind of stuff. What I don't want is to have your thoughts or anybody else's thoughts controlling me, and I don't want my thoughts to be controlling anyone like you.
You have to do what I say or else you're wrong.
Yeah, right. I had an interesting exchange with somebody on the Law of Attraction. What's it called? There's a group called Law of Attraction something or other. I can't remember what the name is, on Facebook.
Yeah.
There's a young woman from Singapore. And after some exchanges with her, I've come to realize her goal with the Law of Attraction is to bend the will of other people to herself. And I'm thinking, whoa, that's really something. In fact, as soon as I called her on it, she blocked me, so I knew I was on the right track. But I'm thinking, you know, that's about as far away from what I have in mind as anything I can think of. The last thing I want is to try to bend someone else's will, partly because you really can't, and partly because what would be the good of it? I mean, I can't see any benefit out of it.
Very upstream,
upstream? Yeah. No, that's more like up mountain. Holy cow.
I also think your desire, because I think we all have that desire, your desire to care about what others think. I think that's kind of like, I wonder what they think about whatever. But it's not serving you. And I think, because what does serve you is how you feel. Your emotional guidance system serves you more than that.
Yeah, I'd be curious to know more about the context of the comment that they made.
It was just a quote. I don't know.
I suspect there's a context to it.
I just have that quote.
Because I think it's like anything else. If it depends on whether you do it in a healthy manner. If you're curious about it, I mean, like you and I have this exchange every week. I love this exchange. I learn all kinds of interesting things by understanding your thoughts and learning more about your thoughts and hearing what you have to say. You know, that's a healthy exchange. That's a healthy way of handling the thoughts of others. But there are clearly many, many unhealthy ways of dealing with the thoughts of others. And I think that's probably what Abraham was talking about. That's why I'm curious to know what the context was.
Yeah. All right, here's another one. Be in love with the idea or thought that raises your vibration, not because of what the thought will bring, but because of the high vibration it's offering.
Yeah. That's what I keep trying to remind myself about. That's what I keep trying to redirect my focus on, because it gets so easy to get tied up with the particular manifestation or whatever that you forget.
Yes.
We're not here for manifestations primarily. And manifestations are part of the experience, and certainly they're desirable. But the primary reason to be here is joy, to enjoy, to have fun, to feel happy, to just... You know, as Abraham describes it, to explore the delicious experience of being alive. I like the way they say that, a delicious, the deliciousness of it, because that's what it is. It's just, it's like it's flavorful and just fills your senses and all that kind of thing. That's really what I want to do. I want my life to be delicious.
Yeah, and a lot of times I think people do get caught up in what the thought will bring, and that sometimes can have a reverse effect, because if it's not coming, or they think it's taking too long, or it's a big thing that they want and they have a lot of resistance about it,
right,
it's not going to put them in a high. It's actually going to do the opposite.
It's going to lower the vibration,
Yeah, so be in love with the idea or thought that raises your vibration, not because of what the thought will bring, but because of the high vibration it's offering.
And by the way, for listeners who are also in agreement that they're here to raise their own vibration, which means to find the positive emotions and stay as much as they can in the positive emotional space, we congratulate you for joining us each time that you join us. And we also ask that if you have not yet subscribed, to subscribe to the podcast. We'll usually describe at the end of each show how to do that, and we'll do that at the end of this show as well. And also just take a moment to share with friends, too, because you know what? They need to have that delicious experience reminded to them, and we need to have that positive reinforcement. So, you know, share the positive reinforcement with others. Just wanted to throw that in, David. So go ahead with the next quote.
Limitations are self-imposed.
Oh, yeah. Who else could possibly impose
that's
them?
That's true.
I mean, it's almost redundant to say it, isn't it? Because it's not like you can impose a limitation on someone else.
No, but people do. They put ceilings on what they think they can have or be or do, and it's like, the only place that's coming from is from within yourself.
I have this image of Voldemort from the Harry Potter series casting a spell. I limit you. It doesn't work.
But that's true, because a lot of times when I work with people about manifesting more money, I ask them, well, what would they do if they had an unlimited amount of money? And sometimes it takes a while for them to break through just like ordinary things they would spend money on, you know, because they just don't think they could have the expensive car or the fancy this or the fancy that. And then once I explain, like, well, it doesn't matter just what, anything, if money was unlimited, what would you want? Then mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, well, then I guess I would get the this or the that. I'm like, yes, that's where you need to go to help you break through that and raise your vibration about what you think you can have so you can attract it.
And, of course, when you start mentioning the phrase unlimited money, then we're starting to zero in on where the limits are that we place on ourselves, because most of us, I think, when we start off, certainly, and even now in my life, I'd say, it's very easy to limit our belief about money. I mean, we're really good at it.
yeah, because we're focused on what is.
And what is it's right in front of our eyes. It's right in front of our senses. We're inundated with it every single day. So yeah, that this is where the real art is involved. The art of applying the law of attraction in our lives is in training ourselves to not be driven by quote what is unquote.
That's right, because that will just keep us in the what is.
Yeah, it's a good reminder too. I like that.
Yeah, and it's, you know, I can understand. Of course, it's a little difficult to be like, well, wait a minute, but there is what's going on. What do you mean? I need to focus more on what I want.
So I got to ask you, David, how often do you find yourself catching yourself that you're focusing on what is instead of what you would prefer to be?
Well, it happens. But with me, though, and probably you and other people that know about law of attraction, is that we're aware that it happens, and then we take action to shift to what we want.
Right. Yes. But I'm wondering, how often does it happen? Like, throughout your day, how often do you find it happening? I find it happens a lot in my day. I'm curious to see if it happens.
Yeah, like, it happens. Like, I don't know exactly how much, but it's, you know, we're human. So it's all, you know, I'm always refocusing.
So basically, like me, it sounds like for you, it's an ongoing thing. We're continuously, day after day, having to remind ourselves, oh, yes. Remember, first of all, that we don't want to focus on what is. That's the first part. Trying to remember it is often hard, you know, because in our conversations, our conversations focus on what is most often, right? In fact, I would say I can't even think of many cases other than when I'm talking with one of you guys, one of my co-hosts, or with my wife, or one of our few law of attraction friends, where we're not focusing on what is. Those exceptions, it's all conversations, except for those conversations are focused on what is.
Yes, as a matter of fact, in my book, Magnetize Your Life, I have an exercise where I suggest you find someone who's, you know, into law of attraction, or at least is willing to do this exercise with you, and you go out to dinner or lunch or whatever, and you literally, deliberately spend the whole meal talking about what you want. It's a great exercise, and when you first do it, it could be a little difficult to spend that much time doing that.
Yeah, that's an interesting thing.
But it's so much fun. So much fun to do it.
Louise and I have done that in various other kinds of conversational situations, but I don't think we've ever spent an entire meal on that. We'll try that sometime.
Try it. Yeah, try it. It's like, whoa. And then what happens is after a while, you kind of pass that part where it kind of feels difficult. It's just kind of fun.
Mm, okay. How do you deal with the question of there's a potential downside depending on what your mindset is. Potentially, if you keep focusing on stuff that you want that you don't have, you could become depressed that you don't have it.
Yeah, but if you're doing it from the point of view of, oh, let's just have fun spending a meal talking about what we want and why we want it, then it won't do that.
Okay. I'll try it then.
I've done it before. It's fun.
See what happens.
It's like, wow. Sometimes you got to like take a minute. Let me think about what else. And, oh, yeah, you know, I can't wait till I can go fly wherever.
It certainly is a stretch of the imagination. I mean, we just finished the book Asking It Is Given by Abraham Hicks. And at the end of that book, we didn't really touch on it, but there are, I think, 22 different kinds of exercises you can do to stretch your ability to look beyond what is into what you would prefer to have in your life. And one of those, I can't think what they call it. I call it the checkbook example. That's the one where you have the magic checkbook and you deposit $1,000, and then the next day you deposit $2,000, the next day $4,000, the next day $8,000, and you're supposed to spend that money. And Louise and I have actually done that one, not waiting day by day, but all trying to do it in one day. So you're very quickly moving up the scale. And I tell you, you get up to like, you know, the range of like $1,028,000, and it's like, oh my God, I just bought all this stuff. Now what do I buy?
I know, it really stretches what you think you could have. And you start looking at the internet, oh, this costs this much. Well, okay, well, I'll get that and two of those. It's very interesting.
And then I start cheating sometimes, like, well, I'll just put half of that into my savings.
No, you have to spend it.
But, yeah, it starts to show you. I think the best thing that exercise shows you is how many limitations that you didn't know you had in place are actually in place. Limitations that basically you have used to block yourself from exploring everything that you want and allowing yourself only to want a little tiny bit.
Yes.
That's the surprising part. Yeah.
That's right. What about this one? Whatever you give your attention to, you vibrate with.
Yeah, 100% agreement.
They say you say yes to everything. I think that's what's underneath that is
yes.
Whatever you give your attention to, you're vibrating with, so you better be really careful what you're thinking about.
In fact, Wendy brought up an interesting point about this this past week. She said one of the more esoteric parts of Abraham teaching, and she is a real student of it. She can tell you stuff that I've never even heard of. But this one piece that she identified was there was some comment that was made in some workshop or something like that where Abraham said that vibration underlies thought. And that really, that's the only distinction. Otherwise, vibration is thought. Thought is vibration. They are basically the same thing. The only true variation between the two is that vibration actually underlies thought. So in other words, vibration, in a sense, is like the foundation upon which thought is built. And that's a really interesting concept all by itself. But when you add in the idea that vibration and thought are so carefully intertwined in that way, clearly everything I think about is going to vibrate. And more precisely, everything that vibrates is what I'm going to be thinking about.
That's right. But what I like about the vibration is that we have a dominant vibration. So you want to be like don't beat yourself up if you realize you're thinking about something for a few minutes that is low vibration, as long as your dominant vibration is more what you're focusing about, what you want, at a higher vibration.
Well, you just used a very interesting phrase there. You said, don't beat yourself up. And I'm going to use that as a bridge because that is, I believe, now I haven't read the whole book yet, but that is the essence of the book that you and I are going to start studying, starting with today's episode, which is The Astonishing Power of Emotions. And as you zip through those chapters, like I was skimming the chapters, looking at the chapter headlines, it was basically, after the first few chapters of explanation and setting the stage, so to speak, they start looking at individual issues in people's lives and the emotion from an emotional context. And invariably, it's about, here is my negative emotion, and now here is how I can turn my negative emotion to a positive emotion by looking at whatever my problem is in a different way. So you just stated it very quickly. Maybe we can just skip the book now because you've already covered it.
Oh, that's funny.
But I mean, you're the one who picked the book. What made you decide to pick the book for this next set of episodes we're going to be doing?
Well, I found a few books on Law of Attraction, and this one just thought, oh, let's go that one because we're always talking about our emotional guidance system and how we feel and all that kind of thing. So I thought this might make sense to do next.
I like the choice. I just wondered if there was any particular story behind it, but I guess it just came to you. So that's all right, too. That's fine.
Yeah. No, there's no, like, I didn't get, my guides did not tell me to use this one. It was just, oh, there's that book, and that kind of makes sense based on what we've been talking about.
Actually, the subtitle is interesting. Instead of relying on your guides, it says, let your feelings be your guide.
Yes. So, chapter one.
Chapter one.
It's called Abraham Welcomes Us All to Planet Earth.
Which is a rather strange title when you think about it. I mean,
that's
a little weird.
Right there, you're going to get people that are like, what?
What the hell are they talking about? So you're going to read from it for us?
Sure. So here you are, living your life in your wonderful body on this magnificent planet. And while it's not the first day of your arrival here, we would like to welcome you to planet Earth. Since you have been here for a while, it may seem strange that we are now welcoming you, but we do so because we want to help you gain a new viewpoint of this lifetime, of your existence, and of you. We have a clear view of you in your current life experience, but we also have the ability to step back and see you and your life in a much broader context than you can see it from your current perspective. It is our desire that our explanation of you in its broader view will assist you in realizing the perfection in this eternal plan of life. We know that your birth into your physical body seems as if it was the beginning of that which you are, but it was far from the beginning of you. It's a bit like you're walking into a movie theater and feeling that your entry into this theater is the beginning of you. You might argue, from your physical point of view, that walking into a movie theater is far different from being born into your body as an infant, because when you enter the theater, you do not forget what happened before you entered. You remember who you were and what you were doing before you walked into the theater. You have a keen sense of continuity about before you walked into the theater as it relates to being in the theater and what comes after being in the theater. In other words, it does not feel to you as if a new life began for you when you enter the theater. But we are attempting to stretch your perception a little so that you can begin to realize that when you were born into the body, which you now refer to as you, you were not beginning then either. It is our desire to reawaken within you the broader sense of continuity as you start to remember who you were before you came into this body. And even more, it is our desire that you allow yourself to become that broader perspective, focused here and now, but remembering who you really are and why you have come forth into this body. So what does all that mean to you?
Well, first of all, I have to tell you that, I'll tell our audience too, in our offline conversations leading up to taking on this book, you commented to me that you liked it better when I did the reading because I have such a better radio voice. And I want to tell you,
yeah,
David, you did a great job there. Stop beating yourself up. You did that was a beautiful job. You read that gorgeously. So to heck with my radio voice. Yours is perfectly fine.
Okay. But you do. You have that, like, I don't know why. Like, in my mind, you have, like, that radio voice. But anyway.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
So what does that mean to you?
But in answer to your question, it sounds like they're setting us up to basically tell us, they're going to give us an idea of what our non-physical being is like. First of all, by telling us that we have one.
Yeah.
That we have it simultaneously to having a physical being, which is kind of news to many of us. I know it was news to me the first time I heard that, and that was only in the last year or so that I heard it. So I was really kind of taken aback, like, oh, okay. You know, it didn't really shock me or anything. It wasn't like I couldn't handle it. It was just cool. So, I mean, basically have made me feel good about something that I'd kind of hoped was true but wasn't really sure.
And what do you think they mean by remembering who you really are?
Well, obviously, if I wasn't aware of the fact that I have a non-physical aspect of myself, then in that sense, I really don't have, up until that point in time, a clear understanding of who that non-physical part of me is and what mm-hmm. that part of that non-physical part of me is. I mean, I kind of remember the first time that I ran into this concept through the Abraham Hicks teachings. I was struggling with it, you know, trying to figure some way to make sense of it from my perspective of being just a physical being. That's the teaching I'd kind of been going with for all of my physical life, really.
Yeah.
And I came up with the metaphor of the board, the sandwich type board that you find at like the seashore or something like that, where
right.
they have a scene on the board and they got little holes for you to put your heads in. You can take a picture of you looking like you're muscle bound on the beach or you're flying in the air or something like that. Right?
Yeah, I've seen those. Yeah.
And the metaphor is the part of your face that's coming out and picturable, so to speak. That's the physical side of you. And the rest of your body sticking out the back, that's the non-physical side of you. So you have this physical part that is the part that you're interacting with the physical world, but you can't really see behind the board all of the non-physical you that's back there. And that, to me, is the metaphor, the idea of the non-physical us is so much bigger than the physical us. It's the face compared to the rest of the body, so to speak. So that's my metaphor for it.
Yes. All right, so just going on. Also, you might say, quote, "But unlike the day I was born, when I walked into that movie theater, I was mature. I was able to speak and walk and feed myself. And while we certainly understand why your small size and physical immaturity makes it seem as if you were only then beginning, this is not the case. Your new body and new surroundings provide a new opportunity for a very wise and very old being to continue to expand in new ways. As your broader perspective of who you really are awakens within you, your appreciation of this life experience will be tremendously enhanced. As you look at life on planet Earth in this greater context, your fears will be diminished, and your natural eagerness for life will explode within you." Wow, that's pretty dramatic.
That last sentence, "your fears will be diminished, and your natural eagerness for life will explode." Maybe not so much the second one for me so far, although it has certainly increased substantially, but fears have definitely diminished. I can say that for a fact. Ever since I've started to adopt this perspective, my fears have become, I mean, like 50 to 75% less just because of that.
Yeah.
Well, that part was pretty powerful, I have to say. And I'm still learning.
Yeah.
I'm still learning to deal with it. I mean, even though we have this perspective that they've given us that, you know, well, we have this non-physical part of us on the other side, it's not like I have a whole lot of direct physical contact with it yet that I'm recognizing. I'm just beginning to recognize, for instance, the messages that I get. And the messages are like little fleeting blips, like, oh, what was that?
Your guides are contacting you.
Yeah, right. Well, it's not like I'm used to dealing with that as a full communication method. You know, I'm used to a full communication method like I have here with you, where we're talking, you know, we're expressing long sentences and, you know, very detailed paragraphical thoughts and so forth. And the messages I'm getting from my inner being so far are blip, picture, okay, we're done. Not quite the same thing, you know.
Your natural eagerness for life will explode within you. I mean, that's pretty dramatic.
It is dramatic, and I'm not sure that it's completely true for me yet. I think that's where I'm getting to. I think, for me, it's more like the natural eagerness for life. It isn't so much that it's exploding for me. It's that I'm becoming more and more open to it and more relaxing into it. It hasn't turned into an explosion yet. But the eagerness for life part is that's not only appealing, that is starting to happen for me.
So then if we're on planet Earth, where is Abraham?
In the non-physical. And the best explanation I have for that is what quantum physics teaches us about the nature of matter and energy, which is that even though we understand the idea of, you know, subatomic material, you know, we call molecules and atoms and electrons and protons and neutrons and all the leptons and mistons and thatons, all that stuff. When you also look at it from the quantum physics point of view and you look down at that subatomic level, it turns out that most of the time, if you were actually able to see that as, like, you know, a large thing, all you would see would be empty space filled with energy. You would actually be hard-pressed to find the electrons, or the protons, or the neutrons, or the leptons, or the you-know-what-thons. You know, you would be hard-pressed to find them, but you would see lots and lots and lots of energy. So from my perspective, the non-physical world is the world of energy. Call it spiritual energy, electrical energy, I don't care what kind of energy you call it, and I'm not even sure what the differences are between spiritual and electrical energy. I suspect there may be, you know, maybe like one's a subcase of another, or they have different characteristics or something. I don't really know for sure. But the fact that there is an energy, it's the energy that Einstein, I think, called like the energy of the ether or something like that. I can't remember what he called it. It was something like that. But the fact that that energy is there is the best indicator that I know of the non-physical. And his famous equation, too. E equals mc squared. E is energy. Yes. M is mass. C squared is the square of the speed of light. So clearly, the formula is saying energy is mass times the square the square of the speed of light. So energy is essentially a function of mass, and mass is a function of energy.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
mm-hmm.
That means that in a certain sense, in from a certain viewpoint, energy is mass. Mass is energy. And if that's the case, well, if we have this great big energy field going on there, and that is the realm of the non-physical, then what Abraham and others have been teaching us is true. All things that appear, all things that manifest, are created from that energy.
Yeah. 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 So should I go to the next section now?
Go ahead.
The value of your faith. So here we stand, looking at you and your life in this broadest of contexts, attempting to explain it to you from where you now stand. But you cannot see you from our perspective. And of course, when you do see yourself from our perspective, then our explanation will be unnecessary anyway. In this section of the book, we're going to express our perceptive of you and of us, and how we relate to one another. We cannot impress our viewpoint upon you. However, as you read these words and ponder them fully in an attitude of faith or wanting to understand, together we will build enough bridges as you move through the pages of this book so that as you turn the last page of the book, you will be able to understand and hold our viewpoint. Not because our words will have been so powerful that they will have transformed you, but because the combination of the logic of our words and the unfolding of your own life will transform your faith or hope into knowing. And what a wonderful state of being, to know with absolute certainty the existence of your being and the reason for your existence, and to have a full realization of all that you are. And then you can get on with what you came to do. Live your eternally expanding life in joy.
And that last part is exactly what my goal is. I think I voiced that earlier.
Yes.
I certainly want the expanding life in joy.
Absolutely.
I am interested in manifesting stuff, but more importantly, I'm interested in living a life of joy. I've bought completely into
it. Yeah, isn't that more important?
Saying.
I know, I agree. I think that's much more gratifying than manifesting whatever.
Especially since I know that once I manage to get myself consistently into the feeling place of joy, all the manifesting is going to show up.
That's right.
One
you
leads to
help,
the
it
other.
Can't help, but attract to yourself things that keep you in that joyous state.
That's right. So I don't actually have to worry about the manifesting part. All I need to be concerned about is, and I don't even want to worry about it, but all I have to pay attention to is what are the various ways that I can get myself to feel joy? Because if I can get myself to feel joy, then
here's the life coach part of me. So what for you, at least right now, would make you feel joyous? What would that be?
Well, it's the collection of things that I've already discovered that work for me. I think I mentioned a number of them here on the show. I like walking. That makes me feel good. I love listening to my positive music list that I've carefully culled over time so that I have just a list of songs that I like that have a positive message, that have
tune. You remember, what are some of your favorite ones?
I'm 60 years old, so obviously my musical tastes aren't terribly modern. The most modern song on my list would be Happy by Pharrell Williams, and that would be like the only one from the 2000s, you know? Everything would be 20th century for the rest of the list. But it's stuff like, let's see, what are some of my favorite ones? Like Walking on Sunshine, Katrina and the Waves.
Oh, I love that song.
Yeah, that's a good one. Or You've Got a Friend in Me, Randy Newman.
Yes.
There are a few of them that are rather not well known, but I like a song called Birdland. It's a song without any kind of lyrics in it by a jazz fusion group called Weather Report. I love that one. It's just a happy kind of sound. I like some of the Beatles songs. Here Comes the Sun, George Harrison. I mean, there's a really upbeat feeling kind of song. Paul Simon, the 57th Street Bridge song, otherwise known as Feeling Groovy. Just feels good to hear that song, you know? There are just a lot of them that are on the list. And the key I found if you feel that positive music is going to help you, and I recommend trying it because it will help a lot of people, is put together a large list and then remove from it. Don't try to just build it one at a time. Just grab a whole bunch of songs that you thought you'd liked at one time or another, plug them in, start playing them, and then as you find one that you say, well, it doesn't really fit
a feeling of positive for me, then remove it from your list. In other words, use the removal method rather than the building method, because you'll actually get there a lot faster, and it actually inspires you to work the list, if you know what I mean. So that's one of my big things is positive music. And plus just, things that my wife and I do together. Anytime, like after the show, we're going to be going out and looking at some open houses. Why? Are we ready to buy a house right now? No. We just want to go out to kind of stir the imagination. Like, okay, so when we're ready for our house, what do we want our house to look like, you know?
And you know what? You never know where that leads. I mean, one time we were not looking for a house.
I know.
We did a similar thing, and guess what? We saw a house, we walked in, we were like, oh my God, we have to have this house.
You
know what? We did. We sold our other house and bought that house. We were not planning to do that.
Is that one of your stories you're submitting for the book?
Well, I mean, it could be. I already gave you the other one.
I know. I was wondering if you're going to give us that one, because that's a good story, especially when you tell it in detail.
I certainly could also add that to it.
Yeah, that'd be great, because it's a good story. It's a really good story, particularly since I don't want to give the whole story away, but especially since you really didn't think you were going to get it.
No, not at all. No, it was way above our price range, and that whole, all right, I'll write that one, too. I like that story, too.
Good, yeah, so we have one more for the
book. But, so going to open house, be careful.
Yeah, right.
But, yeah, it's fun. Like, sometimes in the morning I'll put on my playlist of songs that make me feel good, and I'll kind of, like, dance around a little bit. It's just a fun way to get into feeling good.
Yeah, I've been really appreciating the idea of appreciation, which, if that doesn't sound too redundant, I've been recognizing that I need to celebrate a little bit more, because I've had a lot of little things happen that have been good lately, and I realized afterward, you know what, I could have celebrated them a bit more. Instead of just acknowledging that they came in, I could have actually taken a moment each time and just, done a little victory dance or something, something to just spread the moment out and to experience the moment longer instead of just dismissing it. Oh, that was a good thing. Good. Okay, I'm done. No.
Yeah.
No, I don't want to do that anymore. I want to actually enjoy it. The purpose of life is to enjoy it. Well, when something good comes your way, Walt, why aren't you enjoying it more? Well, I don't have a good answer for that one.
But two songs I recommend adding to your songs that are fun that kind of make you feel good is I'm So Excited by the Pointer Sisters.
Oh, yeah, sure, yeah.
And Neutron Dance by the Pointer Sisters, because they're just like feel-good, fun songs. And, they're just fun to, like, listen to and bop around to. I don't know.
A Pointer Sister fan, okay. That's
fun. But those two particular songs make me kind of feel good, and I don't know. There's a few other ones I have on my list. Like Mariah Carey has a song called Make It Happen.
Mm-hmm.
That's also like a really like a upbeat, fun, positive lyric song. I'm like,
Something kind of from the same genre, Earth, Wind, and Fire, September.
I'm not sure another one, but I'll look for it.
Oh, yeah. The lyrics are more reminiscent. They're more like reminiscing about what happened in September. But the music is so upbeat that it's just, it's so good.
Yes. All right, so the next paragraph is called This Glorious Planet Thrilled You.
Mm-hmm.
While the idea of coming forth into a new physical body on planet Earth was certainly not a new idea to you, it was an absolutely exhilarating idea. For from your non-physical perspective, prior to your physical birth, you understood all of the implications of this new birth. You understood the perfect and stable environment into which you would be born, and you felt unbounded enthusiasm for its variety. Now, that's a lot in there.
Yeah, and...
That's a lot to ask of us.
Well, it's a lot
of people are like,
ask.
Wait a minute, I wouldn't have picked the family I picked if I was looking for a family that was, perfect for me.
I mean, there are a lot of people who would read a paragraph like that and just reject it because of all the stuff that they were born into.
You understood the perfect and stable environment into which you would be born. Unfortunately, a lot of people would be like, wait a minute.
I had trouble with it at first.
That's not what happened to me.
I certainly had a lot of trouble with that at first. I know that it took me quite some time to kind of be willing to accept it, because we're so used to blaming others. We're so used to saying this
thing that happened to me happened because my parents did it, or my teachers did it, mm-hmm. or my school did mm-hmm. it, or my friends did it, or my girlfriend did it, or my boyfriend did it, or the person who lives down the street, or the policeman, or, you know, they all did it to me. I'm the victim here. And what we don't realize is we were actually volunteers. We weren't victims. We still are. We're actually, every time that we set ourselves up to be a victim, we're actually volunteering, which is pretty daunting.
Well, it's interesting because following the next words that follow that part is, and you felt unbounded enthusiasm for its variety.
Yeah, I remember when I first read that concept, I said to myself, what was I, crazy?
I know, exactly. Plus, it's suggesting the idea that before we came into the physical, we were aware enough to do that, to know
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
So it's just, you know, it's just a...
And I've often wondered, too, about the fact that once we get here, we've very quickly, and quickly meaning like within the first 10, 15 years of life, we begin to forget all this stuff. I mean, it's pretty clear that an infant that just arrived or a toddler or whatever, they still have quite a bit of memory of where they came from. Once we get up in age, we tend to forget about that. But you watch the behaviors of somebody who is new to the world in physical form, and it's pretty clear that they have a good, solid connection at the other end, you know? But you have to be willing to look for it. You have to open your eyes and be willing to receive that information, because if you aren't willing to look for it, you won't see it.
Let me just go on, because we only have a few minutes left here.
Yeah, I've got to move.
So what you felt most was the freedom and unlimited nature of this environment. The diverse beauty of the physical nature of your planet thrilled you as you anticipated your arrival, but you were also thrilled with the beauty of the diversity of the people and ideas that were waiting for you. At no point in your preparation for making your new entrance into this physical body did you feel concern about the perspective of the inhabitants of your planet. Not once did you feel a need to get here so that you could set them straight or show them the error of their ways or correct their course. You saw this planet as diverse, ever-changing, and perfect. You came forth with an eagerness that defies verbal description. And because of the secure vantage point from which you were coming, you were not guarded or concerned about your entrance or about what would surround you once you got here. Instead, you knew that you had within you the resources not only to cope with your new environment, but also to mine it for the joyous expansion that you were eternally about. And so here you are, and while you did not just get here, everything that you have just read still holds true. It is our desire to restore your understanding to what it was just before you came forth into this body, so that you can now experience this magnificent life experience in this wonderful body on this glorious planet in the way that you intended. So, dear friends, welcome to planet Earth.
Which is a nice ending, but I have to admit, when you got to the point where it says, at no point in your preparation for making your new entrance into this physical body did you feel concern about the perspectives of the inhabitants of your planet. Not once did you feel a need to get here so that you could set them straight or show them the error of their ways or correct their course. As soon as I read that, I threw the book down the first time. Because not true. I know I came here for that. It took me quite some time to realize, well, actually, I talked myself into that once I got here. If I have to be really honest about it, I didn't actually come here with that mindset. I actually came here expecting everything was going to be great and found that there was other stuff that was rotten, and all of a sudden I wanted to change it. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden I was right down a rabbit hole and didn't realize it.
So where were we then before we came to planet Earth?
Well, in the non-physical, apparently. What's the non-physical? I'm not sure. I can tell you that it's energy. Beyond that, I couldn't tell you. What do you think it is?
But obviously, Abraham is suggesting even in the non-physical form, we have awareness, you know?
Well, we must. I mean, Abraham has awareness, right? Well, then it stands to reason we must have had awareness too, and we must have awareness in the non-physical. So even if we don't remember, it doesn't mean that it's not there.
That's interesting though, to think about, like, wow, okay.
Yeah.
And, well, I know a lot of whatever the word is, spiritual gurus and such, they say on their tombstone they want the words "to be continued."
I like that. That's good. To be continued.
Yeah, because it's not. It's just your physical has ended. person as this person in this lifetime, but we're going to continue.
Except I really don't have any interest in a tombstone, but I like the message. The message is good.
But I was just kind of like, oh, okay, well, I guess, I don't know, I guess we go back to the non-physical.
Well, actually, I think we're always in non-physical. I think that's the big message. We start as non-physical, we turn into non-physical and physical, and then we go to just non-physical. We're always in non-physical.
Yeah. It's just a continuation.
Continuation.
I've heard Esther describe it like, it's just like, just close your eyes one day, then you're just naturally back into the non-physical, as if nothing happened.
Yeah, pretty much. And, well, there is one thing that we do want to have happen. David, there is one thing we definitely do want to
tell
happen.
Us, well, what is that? Tell
we
us.
Want we want people who have not yet subscribed to subscribe to the podcast. So here's how you do it. If you haven't done it already, go to loatoday.net homepage. You'll see the player for this program. You can actually listen to the program live. Most people listen to the recording, but you can listen to us live. The schedule is right there on the page, and we welcome you to do that. But more importantly,
well, you said you would also give the number out if someone wanted to call in.
Oh, sure. The number is 860-264-5432. That number will actually change fairly soon, but for the moment, that number still holds true. And you can see the number right on the page. It's right there. And indeed, when would they call?
Like, if you have any questions for us, you could call us. When would they call?
During any of the shows. The shows are listed. The entire schedule is listed right there. So Monday through Friday, there's two shows a day, 8 to 9 a.m. Eastern Time and 4 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. And on Sundays, this show here, between 11 and 12 noon Eastern Time. So during any of the shows, you can call in. And for subscribing, right there on the page again, there's a click to subscribe button. Works great on an iPhone. It works on an Android phone, too, such as a Motorola or a Samsung or Nokia or whatever. But you have to have software installed, an app installed that can handle podcasts. And on an Android phone, you can get that at the Play Store. Just go into the Play Store and do a search on something like Podcast Manager, which is a free podcast app. And once you have that, then you can subscribe without any issues. iPhones are actually a lot more simple because they come with podcast software installed with the operating system. So in that sense, it's a lot easier. But either way, you can do it. And we urge you to do it because people who are listening to a lot of podcasts. David, the number keeps going up. This month, last month, we reached an average of 22 episodes per listener, which was up like 100% over the previous month. This month, we're averaging close to 28 podcasts per listener. So it just keeps growing and growing and growing. It's really fantastic. Yeah, it's good news. And I also want to remind you, if you have not done so, share with friends, too. We want you to share the podcast with friends. We want you to share the fact that the book is going to be coming out. It's going to be an entire book of stories about manifestations that have happened in the real lives of real flesh and blood law of attraction coaches and practitioners.
Real people.
Yeah.
Not actors. Real people.
Yeah. Not actors. This is not an actor doing this. But yeah, it's going to be really great. And there's even going to be an opportunity for you to get a PDF of the file or actually an ebook of the file for free. So you want to keep listening for that too. So just wanted to mention that. David, if somebody needs somebody to talk to, somebody like you who's a coach, how do they reach out to talk to you?
Sure. If someone wants some wonderful law of attraction coaching, they can go to lifecoachdavid.com, which is now working again. You can just email me, david@lifecoachdavid.com, and I always offer a free first mini phone coaching session.
That's a very good thing, too. I have to just parenthetically state, you talked earlier about the technical issues you were having with your website, and you did a very nice job. You mentioned that they existed, but you were so celebratory about the fact that they were passed. I'm trying to do the same thing. In fact, you'll remember that last December, we had a whole bunch of issues with the podcast where people's voices were getting clipped out, and there was all this static and all this other kind of craziness going on. We're past that part, and that's the great thing.
Yay.
I'm still dealing with an issue where I'm believe it or not, I'm going to have to rebuild my computer all over again because it's not getting the security updates it's supposed to get. But I'm trying to look positively at it, so I just wanted to publicly state I can hardly wait. It's going to be so great when my operating system works great. So there, I put it out there, okay? It's done. David, it's been a pleasure as usual. Thanks for doing this. Let's do it again next week.
Same here, and I just want to say to everyone, choose to have a great day.
Sounds good to me. I'll do that as well. We'll see you all next time here on LOA Today. Goodbye, everybody.